Hello and welcome to CJ Evolution, the podcast dedicated to helping criminal justice professionals like you. Now here's your host, fellow CJ Evolutionary, Patrick Fitzgibbons.
Hello everybody, welcome back. Episode 211 of CJ Evolution starts right now. I'm Pat Fitzgibbons, host and creator of the show, whatever you were doing, wherever you were at. Thank you for tuning in. Special thanks to all those first responders out there, brave men and women. Whatever you're doing in the criminal justice field, thank you. You're putting it on the line every day. You have much support. Never, never forget that. I am so excited, like I said many, many, many times, super excited to be partnered up with Four Sigmatic, a great company that offers amazing products. If you go over to cjevolution.com, see the Four Sigmatic tab, click that. It'll take you to their site. You'll get 15% off of their mushroom coffee and other great products using the promo code CJEVO. We talk so much about the podcast, about transforming yourself, about becoming better, about getting people around you that are going to push you to that next level. My next guest, you're going to love. She's been on the show a couple times, and I'm so excited to have her back again. I give you the one and only Kim Ades. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Super excited to have my good friend Kim Ades on the show. If you don't know who she is, she was on the show last year around this time on episode 109. She is the president and founder of Frame of Mind Coaching and Journal Engine Software. Kim, are you there?
I am here, excited to be talking to you again, as we always do. So here we go.
Well, I'm so excited for you to be here. And Kim is in Canada. And Kim is just a wonderful person. You hear me talk about Kim at the beginning, and Frame of Mind Coaching and her services. You hear me talk about her a lot at the beginning of podcasts. And again, her banner is on the cjevolution.com website. Kim, did I miss anything in that intro? You want to fill in any gaps that I missed?
Well, we're going to talk a lot about coaching and who we coach and why we coach them and what do they come to coaching for. So I'm happy to talk about that. But more than that, what I'm excited about is maybe helping some of your listeners right here, right now. So rather than just talking about us, let's talk about your listeners and maybe offer some coaching right here, right now.
I love it. A lot of people, and the one thing I hear when I talk to people, and I'm in a senior leadership role, and I don't want to come across to the listeners, or you, Kim, and you know me, as somebody who knows it all, because I don't. I'm constantly learning. We all should be constantly learning. But I think what I hear in law enforcement, Kim, is, you know, I mean, how to, you know, every leader struggles with how to connect better, and maybe communication issues. And, you know, people or officers come with different types of issues, and it's a struggle with how do you address those issues. And again, everybody comes to the table with different things. But I think some leaders are just better at it than others. And again, that just people are different. But how do you, maybe I'm asking the wrong question, but I mean, how do you address some of those issues? You know what I mean?
Well, let's ask the question a little bit differently. Okay. So the question you're really asking is, where do leaders go wrong? So
exactly.
They have a team, they want to influence, they want to lead, they want to help their team be productive, reach their goals, make a difference, really, really ensure that team members are contributing at the highest level, are continuously engaged. So where do leaders go wrong? Right? That's
a
good question.
Yeah, where do they go
and
wrong?
And so I'm going to give you a sense for some of the mistakes leaders typically make. Right. So when you think of yourself as a leader, sometimes one of the mistakes is, well, I have to provide guidance and I've got to tell people what to do. And so the focus is on the doing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so that's a big mistake that leaders make. They don't understand that when you're focused on making sure people are doing the right things at all the right times, we mistakenly get engaged in a micromanagement kind of encounter. And who likes being micromanaged? Nobody. And so what happens is, when you're talking about connection gets fractured when we're micromanaging people and we're focusing on the doing. So what's the antidote to that? Is that really great leaders don't focus so much on the doing, they focus on the thinking. So let's get into that a little bit more. When we look at why people struggle, why people have a hard time, let's say, getting their work done, or why people have a hard time living up to their potential, or why people have a hard time with others. We think we need to manage those activities. We need to, okay, let's write a list. Let's hold people accountable. Let's make sure they're doing all the things. But typically, people have a problem getting their stuff done because they have a thinking problem. Mm-hmm. And as leaders, rather than addressing the thinking problem, we tend to want to fix the problem by offering tangible, tactical solutions mm-hmm. and managing the doing. And that's one of the biggest mistakes that leaders do. So what does that mean? Like, let's, you know, that seems very vague. How do you address a thinking problem? Mm-hmm. Well, when we look at why people struggle, they have a whole bunch of beliefs that stand in the way of their performance. So it could be you might give someone a report to do and they might delay it. What's that delay about? Is it that they're lazy? No, it means probably they don't know how to get it done. They don't know how to approach it. They don't feel confident about their skill set. Or they feel like they may be underperforming because they're not sure what you're looking for. And so they just, you know, put it on the back burner. Mm-hmm. That's a thinking problem. It's not a doing problem.
And that comes because we set the tone. The leaders set the tone with that, right? I mean, the leaders, you gave a great example. If an officer is struggling, or maybe they're, you know, I tell them, all right, you need to do a report, or I want this done, whatever it is, and they don't get it done in that time frame, instead of me saying, you know, what, you know, and maybe going on the, you know, getting irritated or, you know, lashing out at that particular officer, maybe I had to dig deeper into the actual reason and get into the meat of it. Like you said, Kim, maybe they're unsure. Maybe they don't know how, instead of
right.
taking that different approach of, well, now I'm going to micromanage you the whole time. Right.
Right. And let's go one step further. And it may be that they simply believe, they have a belief that there's something else on the agenda that takes priority. And so they're, you know, when you look at why people behave the way they behave the way they do because there's a set of beliefs that drive them and drive their actions. And sometimes those beliefs prevent them from taking action because they're scared, paralyzed, nervous, uncomfortable, right? And sometimes people take action that we don't want them to take because they believe it's the right thing to do, mm-hmm. because they believe that's more important, because they believe that's the priority, because they believe that if they don't take that action, they might get in trouble, mm-hmm. right? So what we want to do as leaders is, rather than manage behavior, we want to really understand how people think and how their thinking drives their behavior. Mm-hmm. So it's about a thinking issue rather than a behavioral management issue. So that's the first and most important mistake that people make is, as leaders, we focus on the behavior rather than what is driving the behavior, what's the thought behind the behavior, what are the beliefs that really make that behavior a reality.
And it comes from, like I said, the senior leadership in an organization. I don't care if you're in law right. enforcement. I mean, the leadership has to set the tone. And there has to be a clear expectations, because if people don't know what the expectations are, Kim, then how are they supposed to perform at their peak?
Right. So what I always say is all problems are thinking problems. They're not doing problems. So if we think, you know, oh, we have a goal. We want to get to the moon. And if we all believe that that's an impossibility, then we won't even work on it.
So,
right?
Yeah. So what do you do if you have a CEO of a company? And I'm sure you've dealt with this before, Kim, where
yep.
you have below that CEO, below that top leader in their organization, you have people that agree with this and are trying to implement this stuff. But that CEO, that top member says no. How do you change that? Because it comes from the top, right? And it comes
down.
Well,
look, here's what I would suggest is that if you are a really great leader and you are working on the thinking of your team, then the team actually performs at a higher level. And so when we can get the CEO to look at the performance, then we don't really have to worry about what the CEO thinks too much. Mm. So if you can lead your team effectively with whatever strategy you're using, the CEO will ultimately be satisfied. So I'm not too worried about that. Mm. I'm really not. But so let's go to the next thing. So mistake number one is leaders focus on the doing, not the thinking. Mistake number two is they use their observation as an indicator of what's going on, rather than assuming positive intent.
Excellent. Yeah. And that's okay. A lot of that's in law enforcement. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but go ahead.
A a lot of that is in law enforcement. Well, explain what you mean.
Well, I mean, I shouldn't say, maybe I just didn't phrase it correctly, but I see that where, you know, you observe something in exactly right, Kim, instead of saying, you know, maybe there's probably a good reason that there's, instead of saying, thinking positively, we go to the negative. Oh, this person's screwing up.
Right.
This person's not doing what they're supposed to be doing just based on an observation, an assumption.
Correct.
And we all know what happens when we assume.
Yes.
That's what I meant by that.
Well, that's exactly right. So we believe we know and understand the whole story by what we visually see and hear, right? What we see and what we hear. But we're often missing a lot of key important facts. And so when we walk in as leaders, assuming, even assigning positive intent, and the other person knows we see them in the best light rather than in the negative light, then what we do is we open the floor for dialogue and clarity. Mm-hmm. And as a leader, if I see you in a positive light, if I see you in the best light, you know what you want to do. You want to live up to my vision.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the way I see you influences your performance.
Interesting. Yep.
Okay. So that's mistake number two. There's a third critical mistake people make as leaders, and it's the concept of empathy. You've heard about it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure you've learned it. You know that empathy is a great leadership trait. Have you heard of that before?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's one of the biggest mistakes that leaders do, that leaders make. So you're like, what? How does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, empathy is supposed to be one of the most important, heroic even, traits of leadership. And here's what I want to do. I want to actually define empathy. Empathy is not a cognitive action. It's an emotional experience. Mm-hmm. So what is empathy? Empathy is putting yourself in the shoes of another person and feeling what they feel. It's an emotional experience. It's not simply understanding someone else cognitively, intellectually. It's feeling their feelings. So let's say you're walking by a park and you see someone drowning. How do they feel? Take a guess.
Well, they're scared.
Well, they're scared.
They're freaked out. They want help.
Right. They're breathless. Yeah. They're in a panic, in a state of panic. Would
exactly.
you agree?
Of course.
So now if I empathize with that and suddenly I feel, I experience the state of panic, am I in a position to help them?
No, not really.
No, that's it. I've disabled myself.
Mm-hmm.
So as leaders, sometimes we hear someone else's experience and we feel for them. In fact, we feel with them. And that's a big mistake. Why is it a big mistake? Because that paralyzes us too. That disables us from being able to help them. I'm not saying don't have compassion.
Yeah, I was going to say
I'm not saying don't have feeling,
yeah.
Right? I'm not saying don't have feeling. I'm saying notice that someone's struggling. Acknowledge their struggle, right? Have some compassion for where they're coming from, but it's really, really important that you don't jump in the pool and drown right along with them. And what's super important is that you're standing on the edge of the pool and saying, I see you need help, but I'm going to stand here firmly on the side of the pool and I'm going to give you my hand and pull you out. Because if I'm in there with you, we both drown. So what does it take to be able to stay on the edge of the pool mm-hmm. firmly and confidently with that strength? I have to be able to envision, there's that work, you know, work has to be done here. I have to be able to envision that person out of the pool safely. So I can see someone in a state of stress, in a state of panic, but my job as a leader is to envision them beyond that point in a successful place. If I cannot envision them beyond that point in a successful place, I should no longer be leading this person.
That's a good point, because I think we all, and I know I have too, were... thus us in leadership positions, we're like, there's nothing we get hung up and there's nothing we can do to help this person. You know what I mean? It kind of goes with what you're saying. When the opposite is that no, we have to help this person. He's a part of a team. We can't let him sink. We can't let him sink because then you just set that precedent. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? You have to help them, whether it's an officer or whatever, whoever else in an organization. You know what I mean?
Well, the other thing is that we assume that someone's failure is the ultimate in their demise.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would suggest to you also is that life is a huge journey. And this temporary failure doesn't have to be a defining moment. In other words, it doesn't have to brand a person forever. it can be an element on the long stretch of their journey that could take them potentially to a far better place.
Interesting.
Right? So let's just take something, you know, outside perhaps of law enforcement. Let's say someone, well, maybe not so outside of law enforcement, but, you know, people get married and then they get divorced. Divorce is a hard thing to experience. Mm-hmm. Right? But every time someone says, I'm about to, you know, I'm getting divorced, I say, congratulations. And they're like, what? How can you say something like that? Well, the truth is you're making a decision to get out of a bad place in the hopes of getting to a better place. And I'm already envisioning that better place for you, so I'm excited for you. Do you see that?
I see that. Do you ever do the opposite and say, well, maybe you should work on it? Maybe you should, because I'm assuming that they have worked on it. And maybe
So when someone comes to me and says, I'm not sure if I should stay married or not, I say to them, from a coaching standpoint, we're not going to make that decision right now. What we're really going to do is examine your thinking and how your thinking is affecting you and perhaps affecting your marriage or your relationship. And when we can adjust your thinking, that adjustment may just very well fix your relationship, or it might make the final decision and have you leave. Mm-hmm. For me personally, as a coach, I'm not attached to either one. I am attached to that person's well-being. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter if the decision leads them into the marriage, into a better marriage, or the decision leads them out of the marriage. My commitment is to their well-being and happiness. Mm-hmm. That's it. In or out of the marriage, doesn't matter.
And this is very applicable to all those out there that are listening in criminal justice, law enforcement, because as we all know, and Kim, you might know, I'm sure you do, that law enforcement officers have a high divorce rate. And what you just said really resonated with me, and I hope it resonates with listeners. And I agree with you, even though we've been conditioned to say, hey, I'm getting a divorce. Oh, man, that sucks. I like what you said, because you're moving on. And I've been there. Divorce sucks, but I'm at a better place now. I'm not trying to dig on my ex-wife. Right. We have a good relationship. I'm just saying that we both are better now for it.
Yeah.
And there's so much of a stigma behind that. There's so much of a, oh, you can't say that. I guess it's all in context and how you say it, but you know, you're not going to be jumping up and down and saying, congratulations, you know, you're getting divorced. But it's what you said, Kim. We're all trying to get better. We're all trying to evolve, right?
Right. We look at it as like a tragedy. It's not a tragedy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it might be with the kids, and that's a different issue.
Even so, our perception of what's happening will impact how the kids are affected. Mm-hmm. Right?
You're exactly right.
Right. So what we're doing is we're helping you see your world in a way that's consistent with living a life that is satisfying, that is happy, that is filled with joy, that is filled with great relationships. So let's go back for a minute, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's just talk about marriage, because again, what's the divorce rate right now? Around 50%.
Yeah, so around it affects 50%,
it affects every industry, really. So one of the biggest falsehoods that I have heard is that it takes two to tango. Ever heard of that one?
No. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone has that belief. Yeah, of course it takes two to tango. I'm not in a relationship by myself. And the truth of the matter is it does not take two to tango. Why? Because if you and I are in a dance, right, we have these steps. And these steps, we're so used to them because we've been doing these steps for years and years and years in this marriage. We're used to the steps. I go right, you go left. I go left, you go right. Right? Like it's the same dance over and over and over again. The minute that I don't even need to ask you, I don't need to consult you, I don't need your agreement. The minute I decide to take different steps is the minute the dance changes.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
And you can either follow my new dance steps or you can say, I'm out of here. Mm-hmm. Either way, I've made a unilateral decision. So it doesn't take two to tango. I don't need your agreement. I can make a decision that I'm going to show up in this marriage differently. And that decision will have a profound impact on how the marriage goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly right. And the same applies, getting back to law enforcement and leadership in law enforcement. The same thing applies, right? I mean, to a different degree.
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, and I always tell people, and this is why I'm so glad that you agreed to come on, Kim, because all this is so important to law enforcement. Law enforcement is going through, and I know you know this, it's going through a tough time right now, a lot of bad press, some of it well-deserved, some of it, I think a lot of it is not fair. But anyway, that's a different discussion. You know, we deal with so much negative. We mm-hmm. shouldn't be bringing that negative to work every day and letting it bleed into the organization? Are you going to deal with negative and you're going to have disagreements? Yes. But I see a lot of negative in organizations, and a lot of that comes from the leadership.
Right. So let's kind of go further, okay? Because this is very interesting. For me, leadership is a lot like parenting. Mm-hmm. Okay, so as a parent, you know, your job is self-management. Mm-hmm. So it's called parenting for a reason. It's because it's about the parent. It's not about the child. If parenting were about the child, then it would be called childing. It's not called childing, right? It's called parenting.
Yes.
So what is a really, really great parent do? Like, kids are crazy sometimes, right? Why are they crazy? Because they were put on this earth to go and explore life,
yeah,
to go try things, to go understand who they are in this big wild world, to go and experiment, to explore, to test their boundaries, to understand how the world works. And we're not that comfortable with that idea, mm-hmm, as parents,
yeah,
right? We want to control the situation. And we're so busy controlling the situation and our children that we lose control of ourselves. And so what I teach adults and leaders is that your job as a parent is self-management when your kids are out there doing what they're doing. Your job is to model the behavior you want them to take on. Your job is also to give them as much opportunity to make as many decisions, to interact with the world without your interference, so that they can learn in a safe environment. But what we tend to do as parents is step in and make all the decisions, or constantly tell our children what to do. Go to bed, go brush your teeth, go get dressed, go do your homework, go eat your dinner. No, first you have to eat your meat, then you can have your dessert. On and on and on and on. No, like nonstop, right?
And there's the rebellion.
Right? But what we really want is for our kids to grow up, to have great judgment, to get along in the world, to be independent, but accept that as parents, we're constantly stepping in and never giving them the opportunity to make their own decisions, right? Never. And so what we're doing as parents, all for great reasons, right? We all have great intentions. What we're doing is contradictory to what we want for our children. And guess what? As leaders, we fall into the same trap.
Exactly.
As leaders, we tend to step in too much, and we tend to micromanage. We tend to make too many decisions where our team could probably make some of those decisions. We tend to want to control things instead of giving up control or empowering our team to have more and more control, because we, you know, we're afraid they're a reflection or a representation of us.
Yeah. And it's okay to fail.
Yeah, it's okay to fail. So what's amazing leadership? Amazing leadership is a leader who has strong self-management skills, just like great parenting is the same thing.
That is so important. I'm sorry, I'm writing all this stuff down, Kim.
Yeah.
It's important. It is so important.
It's a very different approach, right? A very different philosophy.
Yeah. And it's hard. It is very hard, you know, or at least it's hard for me sometimes to relinquish that, because you're exactly right. Great analogy, a parent, because we want our kids, we want our officers and law enforcement to go out there and do the right things and make the right decisions. And if it's a decision that I wouldn't have made, I don't need to stand in and say, well, you should have done this, 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 and this. I need to step back and say, now sometimes you have to intervene, but not all the time. And that's where let them make the mistakes, right?
Well, not only let them make the mistakes, but then let's go back and look at it,
yeah,
right? Let's say, okay, so what was your goal? Did this action lead you to your goal? What was your thinking? Did that set of beliefs that led you to make those decisions line up? Because what we often find is people take actions based on false beliefs, based on skewed beliefs, erroneous beliefs, right? And so what we want to do is do, you know, retrospectives, go back and look at how people did make decisions and help them learn how to make decisions where they're clear on their goals and they look at the beliefs that lead them straight to their goals.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we teach people how to think rather than teach people what to do.
And I agree with you 100% of what you just said. And I think the things, what happens sometimes, and I've seen it happen, and unfortunately I've done this sometimes, is instead of making it a teachable moment and trying to understand the thinking and what was there, we get irritated.
Yes.
And we say, why did you do this? And it's all in the delivery, right, Kim?
Yes.
It's all in how you deliver that message, because it could be either be, okay, cool, you know, now I know, and or it can be, now I'm on the defensive because dad is coming down on me.
Right. Yeah. But let's talk about delivery. Where does delivery come from? Delivery comes from your thinking.
Exactly.
Because go back to parenting. If you see your kid doing something and your interpretation is they should know better. What are they doing? That's wrong. How could they do something? They're being an idiot. Whatever it is that going on in your mind, it's a thinking problem. First we think, then we communicate. First we think, then we express ourselves. So I don't want to change someone's verbal expression, right? Because that comes second. What I really want to do is say, hold on, how are you thinking about this? Mm-hmm. And is that thinking getting you to where you want to go? Because if I think of my kid as an idiot, do they increase their intelligence?
No.
They don't.
No.
They do not. Those are opposite.
Well, and I really like what you said, and it really, again, it really stuck with me, and I've heard it before, but you reminded me of it, is always assume good intentions.
Right.
Because if you start out with that, that's going to change the course of that discussion. It's going to change your mindset, maybe, right?
Yeah.
And if you have that, you know, always assuming good intentions, and that kind of can direct the course.
Right. And one of the assumptions you want to make as a leader is assume the person in front of you wants to succeed. Mm-hmm. Assume the person wants to do good work. Assume the person wants to be acknowledged for their contribution. Make those assumptions and help them reach those goals.
Yeah. Yeah. And why do so many leaders? Why do so many leaders get hung up on this? What you are saying, Kim, is so true. It's so simple. But we get hung up on it. Is it just who we surround ourselves with? Is this it's got to be the culture somewhat of an organization?
It's a few things. We get trapped in bad habits. And I will say it's bad thinking habits. And we have people who model behavior that isn't always ideal. And so, you know, one of the things that I want to encourage leaders to do is stop and think about your thinking. Stop and look at how you just interacted with someone and say, hey, did I reach my goal? Did I make a positive impact in this conversation? Did I leave someone feeling better, smarter, more capable? Did I provide light or did I make it dark?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and the one thing I want to ask the listeners right now, and this is where your business, you're an expert in this, Kim. For all those listening right now, I would encourage each and every one of you, it doesn't matter what you're doing in law enforcement and criminal justice, head over to cjevolution.com. You're going to see a banner for Frame of Mind Coaching. And if you click that, it's going to take you to a Frame of Mind assessment. Everything we're talking about, right, Kim? If you take that assessment, I would encourage everybody to do it. I've taken it before. Kim and I have talked. What was it a while ago, Kim? In a long discussion, we're talking. I think we had an hour long discussion about some of the things I'm struggling with and continue to struggle with. And so go over there to the website. Please take that assessment. Kim is amazing, and her team can do amazing things for you. Go ahead, Kim.
So here's what happens when you take the assessment. First of all, you're going to be asked a whole bunch of questions. Some of them will be journaling questions, right? But what does the assessment do? It helps you understand your starting point. Where are you now? What's going on in your life? Mm-hmm. And so often we're just so busy doing and being in our lives that we don't stop and take a step back and say, okay, is this where I even want to be? Am I happy with all these things? Are there some things that, you know what, if I continue down the path and I look back on, I'm going to be like, why didn't I stop? So the assessment is a starting point to really understand where you are now. The second thing that happens when you take the assessment is you will get an invitation to have a call with Hillary. Hillary's an amazing, amazing person who will walk you through the assessment and really give you some insight about why there are some things you struggle with. Where does that come from? How are you thinking about some things? Because you know what's really crazy? Is that we think that we know how we think, but we don't. Most of our thinking is invisible to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and that blind spot can have a massive effect on us. And for us, we're unconscious about it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, so take the assessment, have the call. That call alone will open doors, will open lights, will have you seeing yourself in ways that you did not see before.
And we're talking about life transformation, Kim. This will change your life, folks. And I'm not just saying that. It will change your life. So take the assessment.
Take it.
Any final thoughts, Kim, before we wrap up?
My final thoughts are that, you know, leadership is a challenge because you are responsible for many, many people. And I think one of the biggest traps is the feeling of that responsibility. Mm-hmm. And what I would say to you is that if you're not in a good place, if you're not well, if you're not taking full responsibility for yourself, it's super hard to lead. Mm-hmm. It really is. It's hard to lead effectively. And so if there's something that you're feeling, something that's off, maybe you feel isolated. Maybe you feel like you're always aggravated with others. Maybe you feel like things, important things are slipping through the cracks in your life, your health, your relationships, your fun, whatever it is, then I strongly urge you to take a moment and say, okay, I need to take care of myself right now. Yeah. As a leader, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, whatever.
And I know people out there are struggling.
Yeah.
Everybody struggles. Everybody has, you know, roadblocks in life. And again, there's people out there who are struggling. So I would encourage, once again, everybody to reach out to Kim. Go take the assessment on the CJ Evolution website. And Kim Addis, I know you're busy, ma'am. We love you. You're a rock star. I wish I could talk to you every day. Much success to you and what you're doing out there. Again, it's much needed, Kim, and you are transforming people. I know you are.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and to talk to your listeners. Thank you so much.
All right, Kim, you take care.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.